You can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Oh, change the world. Change the world. You can do it. You can do it.
Time is now.
Time is now. Let's get to it.
You know, this is Filippo, and we talk about change here all the time, and of course, change happens all the time. I think it just might seem like change might happen even more often in a family of 21 children. Why am I bringing this up? Because our guest today is the 19th child of 21 natural children. And I pause and I breathe. We are going to be talking about him, his story, and a lot of his story is outlined in his book called No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child. And it's a riveting book. I'm sure it is. Actually, I haven't read it yet, but it's a riveting debut book for Paul Lamar Hunter, our guest. And though many would consider Paul to be an unlikely candidate to become successful, this thrilling autobiographical account describes how he made it despite overwhelming odds. As the 19th child of 21, his troubled life traversed the perils of poverty, as one might expect, neglect, as one might expect, dysfunction, and even deaths. Paul describes what it's like growing up in the shadows of a, listen to this, famous mom. Yet detached mom, whose affections were focused on a homeless shelter that she founded. Isn't this interesting? Though the shelter was supposed to be a haven for the downtrodden, it was actually the breeding ground for dysfunction and despondency. So despite Paul's misfortunes and failures, his determined spirit and his unshakable faith lifted him above the fray to become the first in his family to graduate from college. And now, moving full speed ahead, our guest is living proof that neither limits nor lineage determine the quality of one's life. Stay tuned with us as he shares with us how faith, fortitude, and determination are what actually determine these qualities of our lives, right after this on Life Changes with Filippo.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
You know, this is Filippo, and growing up, Filippo, in an Italian household, in an Italian family, actually, growing up Italian America here in America, for an American family in our neighborhood, we had a big family. We had actually four children in our family. I have three siblings. And it's interesting, later on when I grew up and studied psychology and I learned about the position of one in the family, how that determines our characteristics and some of our traits and how we go about life and through the rest of our lives. I found that very fascinating, and I quickly went back and examined how that played out in my family, and almost to a T, actually, it described me, or at least the things I was focusing on. And it's interesting because as the second child, I used to complain about being the second child in our family because in the Italian family, the oldest carries the name, if it's a male, of the father's father, if it's a female, of the father's mother. And the oldest, especially if it's a male, not only carries the first name, but eventually the last name also into the heritage that goes on with that child having offspring as that child grows older. And in our case, the oldest was indeed a male. And so he being the male and he being the responsible one, according to the way the laws, quote unquote, worked in the family structure of a patriarchal family in our Italian culture, he had first and final say on everything, this older brother of mine. Then there was me, and we'll skip me for a moment. And then after me came a girl. So I was in between an older brother who was a male and then a younger sibling, which was a female. And now in an Italian family, the girls are treated like the princesses. So if there was something that was important that needed to be discussed amongst the family, my older brother's opinion had all the weight it needed for the decision to be made. My opinion didn't matter. If it was something fun or something of beauty or art or something, then the questions would be asked of the girl because she was the feminine energy. And so I would complain that I didn't count. Well, then came the fourth sibling who ended up happening to be a boy. Well, in this case now, he was the baby and was forever known as the baby. And so there was the oldest, there was the girl, and then there was the baby. And then there was me. So again, if it was something fun, if we were going to go play or do something, then we had to play what the baby wanted to play. And if it was something of beauty or something of, I don't know, then it was the girl. Or if it was something having to do with girl things, then it was the girl. And then everything else, it was up to the older brother to decide. So I used to tell this story over and over and over again. And I used to complain that there was no place for Filippo being the second. And people used to laugh at this story. And I realized that it made people laugh. So I would tell it in a more funny way. And my parents would ask me to share it with everybody because it became really funny, actually. Though I know I didn't share it in a very humorous way just now. As I'm reliving it, I haven't shared this story in years. And thanks to our guest today, I thought about this story. I've been thinking about it all day. Because on the one hand, I'm thinking, okay, first of all, this thing about where the child's position is in the family affects their traits, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think psychology went past five or six children, if I remember back in the day when I was studying this. I can't imagine it going out to 19, much less 21. So I was thinking about that because of that. And I was also thinking how, as the child who never got to make a decision about anything and who didn't count, quote unquote, although there was no lack of love for me, actually, and I did not lack anything to speak of, material things or what have you that we all had. I didn't have any less than everybody else. But as being the second child, and even with sharing this story, I ended up getting the most from my family. I wanted a piano. It was the most expensive things my parents ever bought, any of us. I got a piano. And I could go on and on and on of what I got. And psychologists might say it's because I was the second child that I had to fight for everything I wanted. And yet it's interesting, though, I was getting everything, or at least everything I needed and more. And again, maybe more than the other children, maybe because I wasn't getting that attention that they were getting, I was still feeling like I was lacking in that department. And when I go back and look, I say, that story of mine, that old story, which I've since forgotten about and has since changed, I feel like I can get out and get whatever I need or whatever I want within reason and whatever's right. And I'm kind of grateful for that position in my family, for that story that I carried along, and for having what I had. And yet I think, but what if it didn't turn out that way? And so I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself now, because looking at Paul or listening to him and reading about him, it seems like things have turned out pretty good for him. But he is an adult and is deciding for himself. As a child, I wonder what his story really was. And I believe that could very well be what the foundation of his book is, since I haven't had the pleasure of reading it yet. But I do have the pleasure of interviewing him. So welcome, Paul Lamar Hunter, to Life Changes with Filippo.
Hey, thank you for having me on, sir.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on, especially after having seen videos of you and reading a little bit about you and being fascinated by your story. Tell me, did any of what I shared with you about my story relate to yours in any way?
Well, you know what? I'm just sorry you being a second child. you didn't have any clout in decision making. So I think that your producer needs to give you a hug. sometimes it's good to be number two, because you can sit back and observe and learn things.
True. And I did. You were not number two or three or four. You were number 19. What's it like growing up as number 19 of 21?
You know what? As the 19th child, I have to give a lot of credit to my older siblings. They did a tremendous job, because my mother wasn't at home. She neglected us, pretty much abandoned us. And so my siblings took on the responsibility to look after the young ones that was at the house at that particular time. And I give God the praise for my siblings for being there for me when I was a child.
Was that asked of them, or did they just take that on themselves, from what you know?
From what I understand, they did not want to do it, but it was forced upon them. And they were kids themselves, teenagers themselves, and you know what most teenagers like to do? They want to go and hang out with their friends. They could not do that at all. They had to stay at home with the second team and babysit and feed us. So they did a good job, and I respect my siblings to this day for that.
Right. I know that you're in contact with them, as I heard you say once, with all of them, once a week, is it?
Yeah, once a week. We always chit-chat on the telephone. We're on Facebook with each other. We tweet each other. We always communicate all the time. And once we get on the phone, we just sit back and just, have a intellectual conversation and talk about how it was growing up in poverty and also in a dysfunctional home.
It's fascinating to me that your mother was famous, and we'll talk about that when we come back, and that she was so interested in, and not just interested, she was focused on creating a homeless shelter. It just, it seems to me that there were, in a sense, homeless children at home. It's a odd dichotomy, and I can't even fathom it, and perhaps you can shed some light on that when we come back here with our guest Paula Mar Hunter on Life Changes with Filippo.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeidel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, this is Filippo, and I'm reminded of a story that I won't go into, but so many of you, I'm sure, know, and it's the story of the cobbler's son. The cobbler shoemaker, whose son had no shoes, and in that case, I kind of understand that maybe that was the only way that they were making money, kind of thing. I'm just trying to understand, Paul, and maybe there is no explanation, and I certainly mean no disrespect to anybody's decisions, but what is your understanding of what your mother was doing at founding a homeless shelter when at home she had children that were pretty much homeless, in the sense abandoned as well?
I think my mom was too focused on the homeless shelter and not focused on her children. She started a shelter called Love and Charity, homeless shelter in the city of Racine, Wisconsin. And so she put all of her time and her energy into that shelter. And that time and energy should have been allocated at home, because a lot of my siblings today are hurting because my mother was not present in home. Just imagine when you were a kid and you really didn't have your parent present to cook breakfast, lunch, or dinner. She was just involved in the homeless shelter. She wasn't there to nurture you, to assist you in your academics. So that's the reason why I give a lot of credit to my siblings. And the most important thing that I want to say to parents out there is that it is important for parents to nurture their child, build their children up, do not tear them down, show love and kindness toward them. See, my book is a parenting book, No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19 Child. I believe that parents need to go out and purchase this book, and they can get this book at Barnes & Noble's, Amazon.com. It is available on iTunes, the Nook, the Kindle Fire, and eBooks. It is an excellent book for parents.
Well, you you say that your mother was famous, and if you can't give out or shouldn't give out information, what kind of fame did she have? Was she just famous in the town, or what made her famous?
She was famous because she was the first person that started a homeless shelter in the state of Wisconsin. So she received numerous awards from the governor, from senators in the state of Wisconsin. She was profiled in Ebony Magazine, the National Examiner. You know, she was Sister to Sister magazine, also in Amps magazine. She was just profiled in a lot of publications. And also Fox and Friends had profiled her story as well. So she had a lot of notoriety in the city of Racine.
Yeah, I've actually been in Racine. I've performed there as a singer before, so I think it's interesting. And I'm thinking I'm going to be in Wisconsin actually in a couple months. I wonder if I should come visit the homeless shelter. What would I find there if I did?
I tell you what. When you walk into the doors, she's going to be sweet and kind to you. But once you get in there, she's going to tear you up. She's going to tear you up mentally, physically, and spiritually. Because, you know, even though that's my mom, that's what she's all about, is tearing people down.
Mm. So according to something I heard you say, you said that your mom told you that you would never amount to anything.
Yeah, because that's something, those are the words that she used to say, not only to me, but also to my siblings. And so as a parent, you are the commander in chief. That's the reason why I keep stressing that it's very important to build your children up and not tear them down. Now, when I graduated from Gateway Technical College in 2005 to receive my associate's degree, my mother did not show up at my ceremony at all. She had the tickets. She refused not to come. So I went to go visit her at the shelter after graduation. She refused to take pictures with me that day. I had to take pictures with homeless men because my mom refused to take pictures with me. After I got through taking those pictures with the homeless men that were present, my mom said to me, she said, I'm going to give you some parenting advice. And I said, what's that? She said, a child is not supposed to be successful in life until the parents are deceased. Do you know what that did to my spirit?
Oh, wow.
It crushed me. I was devastated. But what it did was it stayed in my mind and it stayed in my heart. And I knew I had to ask my mentor and people around me the question, what would you do or what would you think if your parents said these words to you? And I remember my mentor named Mike. He passed away this year. And he said to me, if my parents would have said those words to me, I would have thought two things. One, they were jealous of me. And two, they didn't want me to steal the spotlight from them.
Well, I actually can think of two handfuls of other things, actually, that I can think of right now. And I actually would like to ask you maybe one in particular. Do you think your mother is emotionally balanced or healthy?
You know what? In writing this book was a catharsis for me. I discovered that the way my mother was raised, she brought it and she passed that along, tried to pass it along to my siblings, but it did not work. Her mother used to beat her up mentally, physically, and spiritually. So as you see, the curse went from my grandmother to my mother, and my mother tried to put the curse on her children, and it did not work at all. Because my siblings, they love their children. They are involved in their children's lives, even though they have some problems. But they love their children. They are involved in their children's lives. My mother is the mother of 21 natural children, 18 living today, 63 grandchildren, 61 grandchildren. And do you know that as a child growing up, I was not able to say to my mother, "Hi, Mom," or "Mother." We had to refer to her as E. We could not address her as Mom or Mother. If we did, she would discipline us, slap us in the face, get the belt, and discipline us. She wanted us to call her E. And I talk about that in the book, what the letter E means.
Do you care to enlighten me, since I haven't had the pleasure of reading it yet?
Well, you have to go out and get the book. The title of the book is No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19th Child. And let me say this to anybody that's listening to this, because a screenplay has been completed. And so, you know, you might have some investors out there that might be listening to this interview. Please go to my website, which is nolovenocharity.com. nolovenocharity.com.
So, Paul, let me ask you this. Is there anybody in your family that has compassion for your mother and maybe has seen a different side of her and has maybe forgiven her?
You know, some of my siblings hate my mom, and some of them had learned to forgive and let go. And that was something I had to do, is to forgive and let go. In spite of my mom's failures, you know, I have to love her. And I want to have a relationship with my mom. And I do have a relationship with my mom because I'm not in her presence. But when I was in her presence, we did not have a relationship. The relationship was sour because she said some words that were derogatory, that really hurt me. But I had learned to forgive and let it go. And so today I have a better relationship with her. And that is because of out of sight, out of mind. She's in Racine, Wisconsin. I am in Phoenix, Arizona. And every Saturday and Monday, I would give her a call and we would have a conversation.
But if you still
I'm
do?
In her presence, yeah. And you know,
and
she,
do you call her E?
I call her E.
Well.
So if you get the book, you will understand why she wanted us to call her E and what the letter E represents.
So, okay, so you say you've forgiven your mother. That's not the energy I'm picking up on the way you're talking about all of this. And so, you know, but you have forgiven her for as much as you know how to forgive her. And you are really doing your best to be good to her as a son. I'm curious why you even want a relationship with her and why you even need a mother now. When we come back, let's talk about that, because there's a lot of anger still left in you and there's a lot you don't understand about her. And it's obvious from your tonality and the way you're talking, but yet you're still being kind to her and still want a relationship with her. And I think that'd be fascinating. So No Love, No Charity is the book, and nolovenocharity.com is the website. If you all are interested in finding out why the letter E and more about this intriguing story when we come back here on Life Changes with Filippo.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century.
His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, this is Filippo, and our guest today has been and continues to be Paul Lamar Hunter, who is the 19th child of 21 children, all of the same mother. And 18 of them are still living. And Paul is considered, of course, he's successful and maybe one of the most successful ones. At least he's got an education, a four-year degree. He's the only one of his family that has gotten that or had gotten that at the time. If you want to learn more about him and about his book, you can go to nolovenocharity.com. You know, before we went to the break, I had a question, and the question has evolved, and we'll come back to it. But I'm thinking, I know some people that say, if my mother hadn't had six children, I wouldn't have been born. Paul, I'm just curious, if your mother hadn't had 19, you wouldn't have been born. Do you have a comment on that?
You know, my comment is that she had 21. Thank God she had 21, or I wouldn't be able to live my life and also write the book and experience some of the things in my life. I do not regret anything in my life. How I was raised, yes, it was very difficult, but it was a journey. It made me a better person, and I thank God for it, you know, for where I am today.
Wow, that's saying a lot. And it sounds like you have some pretty special people in your life and your siblings being that. Actually, it seems like with that many siblings, you don't really need anybody else. Do you have time for friends or time for people outside of your family?
Yes, I do. I have been coaching basketball for the last 19 years. I'm active out in the community as well. So I'm a mentor myself to players on my basketball team. Some of the players went to college. Some of them are school teachers at this particular time. Some of them are principals and counselors. So I was able to help the next generation. So I'm very happy for that.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to hear that. Actually, you seem to be a good role model. I, for some reason, I'm reminded back to my psychology studies where there was supposedly an interview done to a group of twins, and each of the twins were asked questions outside of being together, and especially with the twins that were fraternal twins that were exactly alike. And in one particular case, I remember, actually, this happened over and over again, is my understanding. But in one particular case, the story that I remember is that the parents were alcoholics and smokers. And so one twin was indeed an alcoholic and a smoker. And so they asked her how she became that. And she said, "How could you ask me such a stupid question? Look at my parents." And then they asked the other twin, who lived in a different part of the country, who had also grown up with the same parents, with her sibling as well, and a twin, no less, asked her why she was not an alcoholic and why she never smoked a day in her life, according to her. And she said that she doesn't drink, she doesn't smoke, and how could she look at my parents? And so it's interesting what people take away from what they learned or didn't learn from their parents. And so it seems, Paul, that you've taken away a lot. And what would you say is the main thing you're taking away? Is that the parenting skills that you're teaching in your book or sharing?
Yeah, the parenting skills. You know, my mother did not have any parenting skills whatsoever. Her narcissistic personality lacked empathy for her children. I have four children. And so I love my children. I have compassion. I have sympathy for my children. I'm caring to my children. I tell my children, you know, give me a hug. I kiss them on the cheek. I was not allowed to do that with my mom. That's the difference.
Yeah.
My mom was very detached. If you try to hug her, she's going to push you away.
Yeah.
You couldn't say to her, "I love you." You know, she would say, "Don't you say that you love me, because you don't love me." So it was difficult being raised in the house with someone that had a mean spirit toward her children. And from what I understand from my uncle and my aunts, is that was the way their mother were.
Mm.
Very detached, not loving, not caring.
Yeah. You know what, the life coach in me and I just would love to talk to your mother, and you know I would hear a different story, and you know that too, actually. But although she'd probably say, "Yeah, that's true, but you know, that's because they got to learn this or that or whatever," but the underlying story just might be that she is a very wounded child herself, and we're far from compassion for her children when you say that not only did she not show up at your graduation, the only child to do that, to achieve that, but also to say those words to you and then not take a picture with you. There is stuff going on there that is probably beyond her own control and imagination. I mean, beyond her own control, and that I can't even imagine right now, and some of us can't. But I ask you, why then have a relationship with somebody who might have some issues, unless maybe you feel compassion for her and feel somebody has to be real in her life? I mean, what's up with you calling her every week and trying to have a relationship with her?
Well, you know what? It was 2 years ago. I was in Minnesota with my sister and my brother, and my sister insisted that we go to her church, and I did not want to go to the church. And so I said, "Okay, I will go." I went to the church, mother in spite of her failures. He said that your mother has some childhood issues that she's dealing with, and they haven't been addressed, and she needs help. She's dealing with childhood issues that what her parents had did to her. That's why she cannot love you or none of your siblings. And he said you have to love her in spite of her failures. And he told me, he said, the best relationship that you're going to have with your mother is when you move out of state. But if you continue to live in the city of Racine, Wisconsin with your mom, it's going to be conflict. But the day I left the city of Racine in April 2013, the relationship has got better. That's because it's out of
sight.
That
hasn't been long.
Out of mind. Yes, yes. The relationship got out of sight. I will call her, and sometime she will call me just to see how I'm doing. But you know what he told me? He said, when you do come back to Racine to see your mom, he said, give her a hug and tell her that you love her, and you move on. He said, you cannot be in her presence because she doesn't know how to love you or your siblings.
Or herself.
And and plus she doesn't know how to love herself.
Yeah.
So whatever it is that affecting my mom, it had affected some of my siblings today.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, I have been speaking with the booking producer at Dr. Phil's show. That's the reason why I'm trying to get my siblings some help. And I need Dr. Phil, you know, to give us a chance to come on the show so he can assist the Hunter family, because it's going to shed light on some issues from the Hunter family and also my mom.
And Paul, your story was compelling to me, not just because it's 21 children. I joked about coming from a big Italian family, but and being only four siblings, but certainly in Italy, I had heard of huge families. To me, huge was 13, 15, and all of that, that I am even related to and know their stories and all of that stuff as well. So I get why sometimes people did things, and I don't get why some people did things at times and why people still do them. But we've hit upon some interesting things here, and another reason why your story was compelling is because of what you are doing for your family, not just your immediate family. Like you said, in some sense, the buck stops here, and that's a beautiful thing. You called it a curse. I don't have the same value system, so I don't look at that as a curse, but I do look at it as it was something definitely passed on. Somebody didn't know how to do something, or that was the only way somebody knew how to do it, and they did it, and then they passed it on, and they somehow think that's right to pass it on, or they've not stopped to think about whether it's right or wrong. They just do it. But you're saying the buck stops here.
And you're absolutely right. The buck does stop here. And that's why I'm out there pushing this story across America and abroad, because it's a compelling story. This story will help millions of people's lives today. That's why it's very important that your listeners go out and get the book, No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19 Child. This book is available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. It is on iTunes, the Nook, eBooks, and the Kindle Fire.
And, of course, at NoLoveNoCharity.com. We'll be right back with our guest, Paul Lamar Hunter, right after this on Life Changes with Filippo.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
Wow. Talk about life changes. My hope and trust is that obviously my knowing is that life has changed because of you, Paul, and because of the strength of your siblings, and in a crazy sort of twist and turn here, there your mother is very well decorated, as you were saying at the beginning of the show, because she has opened up something, a homeless shelter in the town, and it was the very first one. And interestingly enough, through a little bit of research, I've come to know the name, and I think it's interesting, but I won't share it because I'm pretty sure you probably talk about it in the book, along with some of the other things that we found when we were doing research on your background and all that, that you have done, like uniting your family, et cetera, that are really, like I said earlier, compelling. And it's also not about your mother, like you're saying. I mean, yes, it is, because it involves you all, but the story, at least the resolution of it someday, or the learning from it, and what you've already learned and what you share, could be very helpful to many people who are passing on, I'll use your word, the curse, so to speak, to their children and their children.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I want to say this, that there are parents out there that comes from a dysfunctional family, but they made it in the world. They have broke away from that generational curse, because what mama was told, this is how you raise your child. This is what you say to your children, you know, derogatory statements, put downs. You tell them they'll never amount to anything. So what you're doing is you're setting your children up for failure. And a lot of time what happened in my family with some of my siblings, when they fail, guess what came creeping into their mind? Those words. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never be anything. And see, when those words come to my mind, I rebuke it. And I say to myself that I am blessed, I am talented, I am equipped, I am confident, I am disciplined, I am determined, I am focused. Those are the words that I say. So if parents would go out and get my book, hey, I tell you what, it's a learning tool. It will help them to become better parents. And that's what we need to do in this society. We need to teach parents how to become better parents. That's it. We have to teach them.
Kids, I've often said, are having kids. Actually, a lot of people have said that. And they are, of course, referring to young adults having children. When I say it, I've been saying that what I mean is that kids emotionally and spiritually are having kids. And unfortunately, if they don't have the developed adult or mature emotion or spiritual relationship with their God or their higher self or whatever belief system, but then their kids can grow up with that lack. You have broken out, and in more ways than one. You've gotten a degree, you've written a book, you have a family of your own that you're raising in a different way, and you have maintained the relationship, and you've taken the advice of this bishop to just love your mother in the best way that that she can accept, that that you can give. And it's, again, compelling, and it's how we're learning about love. Interestingly enough, the book No Love, No Charity, seems to me there's a lot of love and a lot of charity, at least in the best way you know how, and it seems like a really good way, Paul. So my hat's off to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And, you know, the reason why I call it No Love, No Charity is because my mother had a homeless shelter, and that name was Love and Charity Homeless Shelter. And so I call it No Love, No Charity, because when you walk into the door of Love and Charity, there is no love. There is no charity.
You know, Paul, there, I started to say this earlier. I don't think I finished my thought. There are a lot of people that are doing a lot of good out in the world. And a lot of those people are broken people. And sadly, I'm being judgmental, but they're creating a lot of issues in their own homes, in their own families. We've had people like that in our families as well, who are very religious and do right by the church, or do right by the homeless, or do right by the quote-unquote poor in the community, and then just cause havoc within the family and treat people badly that they can. So they're out of balance, and it's hard to say, well, it's good that they're doing that, but in the meantime, they're hurting people like you. And so it's a conundrum. It's something that needs exploring. It's something that it's been hard, actually, I have to say. I was looking forward to the interview because I think you're cool. I wish I could get to know you. And you come out to LA one of these days, I would love to sit down with you and have coffee. And at the same time, it's like I knew we would talk about hard stuff.
Oh, yes. You know what? I can't wait to come to L.A. because when I do come there, I'm planning to have my siblings and we can do it live in the studio, because I just don't want to share my perspective. I want your listeners to hear their perspective of how they were raised and how they took care of that second unit, which was the ten kids that came after them. So I think my siblings have a different perspective, and some of those perspectives are going to be good, and some of them is going to be bad.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, I'm going to be following this over the months and the years because it's something that has touched me, of course. And the reason why you're having reached out to me personally and me, you know, learning about you and all that, it just my heart went out to this situation. And I hope and trust, and I feel that I'm right about this, that there's an even bigger story on the other side of this, what you're putting together here, that somehow the Hunter family as a whole comes together and shares something or grows and learns something and helps people in a way that would never have been expected, having come from where they came from. And that's my wish to you. You're already doing it with the book. Much love, much success to you for that. No Love, No Charity. And you can find it all over, like Paul has been saying, but you can definitely go to his website, learn about him, and actually see some pictures of him and his family at nolovenocharity.com. Any parting words for us, Paul, before we go, until we meet again?
I just want to send out a message to all the people all over the world to remember these words: desire and determination will always overpower adversity and negativity. Think big, speak big, dream big, and never give up.
Well, I don't often use this word, but amen to that. Amen to that. And with that, Paul, thank you so much for sharing your story and for being with us here today. I'm grateful to our producers and to all of you for being not only interested but passionate in this kind of information and these people. Let's all stay on top of these stories and be a part of them so that we can help each other as we grow. Paul has been how should I say, he's put himself out there, and you know what, authors don't make a whole lot of money. I'm sure he's not out this for the money, and even if he had it, sounds to me like he'd do a lot of good with it. So, you know, if you can go out and get a book and support this, more power to all of us. I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.